Let's go, church. Let's give it up for Jesus. Amen, amen. You guys can go ahead and grab a seat. Man, so excited to be with you guys this morning, to be able to open God's word with you. I want to welcome you if you've not been welcomed yet. I want to welcome those of you online, those of you out in Baghdad, those of you in Paulden watching. We're so glad that you get to join with us today. Let me ask you this. How many of you like getting your picture taken? There's like a very few of you. Some of you are like, oh yeah, I look good, right? Like the rest of you are like, I'm not sure, right? That's not your thing. But I've noticed there's really like three types of photos that can be taken of you. The first is the candid photo, right? You have no clue it's coming. It can happen at any time. You have no idea. Right? And some of you I'm really jealous of because it doesn't matter who takes it, when they take it, you look like you belong on a magazine, right? You're just like, oh, perfect pose. Like you just, I don't know how you do it, right? Because when people take pictures of me candidly, I'm like, I have four chins in that picture. I don't know how you even hit that angle. Like it doesn't make sense. All right, so there's candid photos. Then there's posed photos. You know the picture's being taken. You're ready. You're posing. You're getting in the right place, which apparently my children think this is the time for them to smile like this. Right? Like picture day, we got their hair perfect, and we're like, did you smile? They're like, yeah. We get the picture back, and we're like, no, you didn't. Right? What is that? All right, there's posed photos. And then there's selfies. All right, then there's selfies where you get to find the right angle. You got to hit it just right. You got to be like, this is what I want them to see. Like one chin, not four. You know what I mean? Like you got to find the right angle. You got to do it. You get to show people what you want them to see, what you're like, hey, this is what I want you to see. And it's estimated that there's 93 million selfies taken daily. And some of you are the culprits. I've seen you. All right, I'm just saying. Well, as we've been going through this collection of talks, we've been walking through snapshots where we get a snapshot of God's character. We get a picture of God's character, and we've seen multiple snapshots to say this is what God's character is, and we see it through the snapshot. Today we're going to look at a selfie that God gives us of his character. I think of it as God's business card. All right, you guys remember business cards? All right, let me help. A LinkedIn profile, that's what I mean, all right? Business card. You go, hey, this is the information you need to know about me. I'm giving you the information right here so you can know what it is that I want you to know about me. And we're going to look at God's business card today. All right, because Moses has seen snapshots of God and he's seen snapshots of God's character. All right, remember the burning bush? He saw a snapshot of God through the burning bush. He saw the burning bush. He saw a snapshot of God through the plagues. He saw a snapshot of God through every single thing that he did, the giant pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud. He saw a snapshot of God. He saw a snapshot of God's protection, God's provision, right? God's guidance. He saw God's love. He's seen all of these things of God, but as far as God telling him who he is, all he had to go off of was I am. That's it. When he's like, who should I say sent me? And he's like, say I am. He's like, sweet, I got it. So God gives us a little bit more here. And what's happening is this, is the Israelites, they're going through the desert. And as they're going through the desert and they're on this journey, Moses stops for a moment and he goes up to this mountain to talk with God, to hear from God, to have some time with God. And while he's gone for just a few moments. He's gone just for a little bit, just a few days he goes up on this mountain. All right, so any parents in here, you ever left the room for just a few minutes? You know what I'm talking about? Like everything's clean perfectly. It's spotless. Everything's great. There are no fishy crackers all over the floor. And you leave for just a little bit. And you come back in and you're like, who lit the bomb? Like what happened? This is insane. This is crazy, right? That's when I lose my mind. I'm like, this is not what I left it like. That's why I used to have hair, but I pulled it all out because of those situations, just like that. Moses leaves just for a couple moments. And he comes back, and when he comes back, while he was gone, what the Israelites did is they melted down their jewelry and they made a calf to worship because they're like, God must have left us. And so they made a calf and they worshiped this golden calf. And Moses, who just comes down from talking with God, who received the Ten Commandments on these plates, and he comes down, he's like, I'm going to give these to them. This is going to be great. This is God's guidance for us. He loses his mind. He pulled his hair out. And he throws these tablets down and he breaks them. And he's going, what did you guys do? I was gone for a moment and you messed it all up. And so he goes, God is going to be angry. And I need to go up and I need to talk to God. And so he goes up in an act of almost trying to atone for them. He goes up and he goes, hey, don't kill these people. Kill me instead. Take me instead. Spare the people, man. And if that's not a picture of what Jesus did for us, right, if that's not a snapshot of Jesus's showing us what he's going to do on a cross for us, but Moses goes up and he does this, and this sparks God to go, hey, let me tell you who I am. Let me from my mouth tell you who I am. And he says this in Exodus 34, verse 6. It says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. That's what he says. This is on his business card. The first thing listed is he says, man, I am merciful. I am merciful. A lot of times when we think of God, we would say, yeah, who's God? God is love. And that's true. God is love. But the only reason we're even able to experience his love is because of his mercy. God is merciful. God is merciful and gracious. What is mercy? Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. It's not getting what you deserve this punishment. It's you not getting what you deserve. I don't know how you grew up, but I grew up in a generation where I got spanked. Okay, there was no nice, kind conversation. I got whooped. That's what happened. My parents were like, oh, nope, you deserved it. Let's go. And so anytime when I would do something that deserved to get a whooping, here's what would happen. I would ask for mercy. Please, mercy. Come on, please. Don't give me what I deserve. Right, what God does is you deserve a punishment, but he said, no, I'm giving you mercy. Why? Because I am merciful. That's who I am. That's who God is. And so he's given us his mercy by not giving us the punishment that we deserve. But not only that, he gives us grace. Grace is you getting what you don't deserve. It's like my parents going, not only do you deserve a whooping, but instead I'm going to buy you ice cream. That never happened, by the way. Never, not once. I'm just saying, that's an example. What God did is he said, you don't deserve this, but I'm giving you Jesus. I'm giving you this because I am merciful, because I am gracious. That's who he is, because of his mercy and his grace. All right, the whole verse, it goes on. It says this, the Lord passed before him, proclaimed the Lord, a God merciful and gracious. It says, slow to anger. How many of you are gratefully slow to anger? Some of you aren't grateful because you don't know yourself. Come on now. I know me. I'm grateful that he's slow to anger. He says, I'm abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That is who he is. He's giving him his business card. He's saying, this is it. This is a selfie. This is a snapshot. I want you to understand this is who I am. I am full of mercy. I am full of grace. That is who he is. And if we're honest, we see it everywhere. If you're taking notes, write that down. That is who he is. And we see it everywhere. Right, it is consistent. It's consistent all throughout Scripture. All throughout Scripture, we see his mercy and his grace on display, but no more so than in the New Testament. It is full of mercy, full of grace on display. That is where we see it the most throughout Scripture. All right, it reminds me of this. How many of you have ever been to Great Wolf Lodge? Been to Great Wolf Lodge? Right, they take this place and they design it so that you feel like you are in a different place. You don't need the outside world. You are on your own planet in Great Wolf Lodge. Right? And what they do is they design it everywhere that the kid looks, they want something. They're like, oh, donuts, I want one of those. And then they're like, oh my goodness, there's candy over here. And you're like, close your eyes right now. And they make it really easy. They give you a wristband, so all you can do is just scan it. You're like, beep, beep, scan it. You want a donut? Sweet. Right? You're like, what does that smell? I want fries. Let's get fries. And you just scan it. And then you check out and your bill's like $5 million. And you're like, what in the world just happened? But in the back, they have their water park area and they have like a wave pool over there. And they have water slides. And then they have the playground. And my kids are at an age where they love the playground. They'll play on this playground. And if you've been to a water park playground, most of them have this feature where there's just water everywhere. But there's one thing. There's a giant bucket up top. And it slowly fills up and you can play and you can sit there and it fills up and it fills up and it fills up. And it finally gets to a point where it dumps out. And all of that water comes pouring out of this bucket. Right, and as I'm standing there with my kids and we're waiting for this bucket, it's getting to the point where it's starting to tip and you're like, oh, it's gonna happen. And in this moment, I'm sitting there and listen, I could be a good father. I could be a good father, right? Where I would like pull my kids out of the way so they don't just get smashed by this water. Where I might even take it for them and just be like, no, it hits me and you're good and you just get a little bit. And I intend to do that. But then when it's about to pour out, something comes over me and I turn into like a cartoon villain. I'm like, oh, right? Maybe not just the villain. Maybe I'm like the bald sidekick. You know what I mean? Why are they always bald? Why do they do that to us? Some of you in here, you're standing with me. I see you. And right as this thing dumps, I'm like, no, you save yourself. And I throw them right in the water. They get smashed. And I'm like, ah. Right, here's what the Bible says in Romans. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5, it says that God's righteous wrath is being stored up and waiting to be poured out upon us. His righteous wrath that we've been storing up will be poured out. But in an act of extreme mercy and extreme grace, when the bucket was full of wrath to be poured out on you, Jesus stepped in and took you out so that you do not get hit with what you deserve. That is mercy. That is grace. Because we've been storing it up, because everything we've done is storing up this wrath that God is going to pour out. But Jesus steps in, and that is who he is. He is full of mercy. He is full of grace, and we see it everywhere. We see it everywhere. If you're taking notes, write this down. Because of his mercy and grace, we can have salvation. Because of his mercy and grace, we can have salvation. We have a problem, though, and the problem is sin. And every single one of us have the problem of sin. Some of you are like, I don't know if I have it. Yes, you do. You have it. You know how I know? Have you ever hung out with a 2-year-old before? Right? You ever hung out with? They're evil. They are. God bless our 2- and 3-year-old workers that are in there right now. Right? Nobody has to sit a 2-year-old down and go, okay, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to yell no. Okay, now louder. Yell now. Say mine and then hit them, right? Nobody has to say that. They just know it. Nobody taught them how to do that. That's the life they live. Why? Because we have a sin nature. It's inside of us and it grows in us. And each one of us have sin. And because of our sin, because of the sin that you and I have, we are separated from God. But check this out. It says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates, he shows his love for us in what? In his mercy and his grace. Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you could not do it on your own, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you and said, here is my mercy. Here is my grace. I'm going to step in on your behalf. I'm going to go to a cross and I'm going to die for you. Right, that is salvation. We have an opportunity to be saved. Salvation is saying, God, I accept your mercy. I accept your grace. And I think the Holy Spirit is working on some of you in here right now. And maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you, hey, that's you, and you need to accept my mercy and grace. You need to step into my mercy and grace. Because here's the thing, you can't accept it. You can't be saved without his mercy and his grace. You can't, just because you come to church, it doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you're here, that's like saying because you stand in a garage that you're a car. You're not a car, you're just standing in a garage. You're not a Christian because you come to church. It is only because of Jesus. It is only through Jesus. I grew up in San Diego, and growing up in San Diego, every summer I was at the beach almost every day. I was at the beach all the time, and it never failed. Every single year, we'd have people come from out of town. They'd come in. Most of them were Arizonans, I'm just saying. And they'd come in and go to the beach, and every time they go out and they'd be like, I want to go in the water. I want to go swim in the ocean. I want to go out in the waves. And they don't realize that it's not Great Wolf Lodge waves pool. You know what I'm saying? They get a little bit too far out. They get a little bit scared. They panic a little bit and they get to a place where they go, how did I even get here? I don't know what I'm doing. I shouldn't be this far out. And they get a little embarrassed in that moment because they're so far out, because they're like, I don't know how to do this. And they start kind of freaking out from where they're at. And I always like looking after the lifeguards because the lifeguards are ready. And you know what the lifeguard says when he looks out and sees someone out there? He doesn't go, well, you're just not trying hard enough. If you were trying a little harder, maybe I'd care. If you just were, you know, had a little bit more perfection, then maybe I'd go after you. Just a little more elegance. No, not a chance. As soon as that hand goes up, the lifeguard dives in. Just like Jesus says, listen, I'm not waiting for perfection. I'm not waiting for anything that you can do. There's no effort on your part to earn salvation. As soon as you say, I am putting my hand up to receive what you have done, you are given his grace, you are given his mercy, and you are given a seat at the right hand of the throne of God next to Jesus in heaven. All right, you are given that. because of Jesus, not because anything you have done. We get to worship God because of his grace. It says this in Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's approach his throne of grace with confidence. Why? Because he's gonna give you mercy. He's gonna give you grace. And when you've accepted his mercy and his grace in your life, when you said, hey, that's me, I need it, I can't do this. When you've accepted his mercy and grace, you then get to live in his mercy and grace. It's not a one and done. You get to constantly live in his mercy and grace. If you're taking notes, write this down. Because of his mercy and grace, we get to join him on kingdom mission. Because of his mercy and grace, we get to join him on kingdom mission. Right? We get to be the snapshots of his mercy and grace to the world around us. It's like this, my kids, man, if you know me and you don't know my wife at all, when people see my kids, they go, oh, they look just like you. And then they see my wife and they don't know me. If they don't know me, they know her. They go, man, these kids look just like her. Like, yeah, because they're the perfect mix of both of us. They are a snapshot of us. They have more hair than me, okay? But they're a snapshot of us. And the hope is it's not just the way that they look, it's the way that they act so that when they go out in public and the way that they live, people are going, that is a snapshot of the values that you've instilled in your kids. That is a snapshot of the way that you have loved them and have raised them, and they are showing that snapshot, and we see that in the way that they live their lives. You and I, we get to be a snapshot of our Heavenly Father to the world around us. We get to be a representative of his grace and of his mercy to the world around us so that when they see the way that we live, they go, oh my goodness, that is a snapshot of God and his character. Because of the way that we carry ourselves, we get to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. When you join him on kingdom mission, you get to be his hands and feet. On Wednesday night here, we have our youth and our kids programs, and we have people that serve diligently in those programs. I was talking to Pastor Jordan this week, and we have people that have been serving. This is their second year serving faithfully in the fourth and fifth grade room. Every single week, they're there, and they're pouring into these kids. And the kids, when they graduate and they go into sixth grade, they move on to the next program. But he was telling me that every week they come back, and they go, hey, are they here? Are they here? I want to come, and I want to say hi to them. And I want to talk to them. Why? Because they've made an impact on their life. Why? Because they love them. Why? Because they were the hands and feet of Jesus by serving. By showing up in their life and serving. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I was driving the other day, and I was driving down Willow Creek here in Prescott. And as I was going, I noticed off in the distance that there was two people kind of on the sidewalk on the side of the road. And as I got closer, I'm wondering what is happening here. And from appearance, what I could tell is the man looked like maybe he was going through some rough times. He was an older gentleman that maybe was experiencing homelessness, and he had some physical ailments going on, and this woman is next to him, and she has her hand on his shoulder. And as I got closer, what was happening is exactly what I thought. She was just praying for this man. She had her head bowed, and her eyes are closed, and she's praying, and I'm going, wow, this is incredible. As the light stopped and I kind of slowed down, I got a closer look, and I was just filled with joy as I recognized who it was, because she goes to Heights Church every week. And what I saw is somebody living on kingdom mission in their world. Listen, she didn't know her pastor was driving by. She wasn't like, all right, let me just do this real quick. Someone's going to see me. She was like, I am living on kingdom mission. I have experienced grace. I've experienced mercy. And I want to show it to the world around me so that when I see someone who needs some prayer, who needs someone to come alongside them, I'm willing to do it wherever I'm at. Because that's what the hands and feet of Jesus are. When you live on kingdom mission, you are the hands and feet of Jesus. When you live on kingdom mission, you understand that you are a representative of Jesus. You get to represent Jesus to the world around you. Last week, I was talking to a gentleman in our church that many of you know is very involved here. He's been going through some health issues, some very serious health issues, so much so that he needs a new heart. And it's been a process over the years. And recently, he got a call to say he had a new heart. It was going to be given. So he goes to the hospital down in Phoenix. And as he's in the hospital, the doctors come up and the doctors go, hey, the heart that we have is corrupted. We cannot use it. And the doctors are extremely upset by it. And the nurses are upset by it as they've walked this journey with him. And they're going, this is not okay. This is not good. And as he looked back at them, he said, it's okay. And the doctor's like, it's not okay. And he goes, yeah, it's okay. You know why? Because I trust God. And in that moment, the doctors are going, why can you trust God in this? And you know what he did? He shared Jesus with them. Because it doesn't matter our situation. It doesn't matter how hard it is and the things that we're going through and what's happening around us. If you are on Kingdom Mission, you are a representative of Jesus to the world around you. Whether you're laying in a hospital bed or whether you're walking on a sidewalk, you can represent Jesus. Last week, I was walking into church and someone stopped me and they said, hey, Pastor Todd, I got to tell you this story. I said, I was having a conversation with someone this week and they hadn't been to church in 10 years. And in 10 years, they hadn't come to church, but they came last week and they came to Heights. And they said they felt more welcomed and loved than they've ever felt before. I said, it was so welcoming. It was so loving. And they tell them, they're like, hey, and that bald guy that spoke, he did a great job. And I was like, that's just the bald guy. That's all I got. Right, but you podcast people know it's not bald guy. It's the bald eagle, baby. Come on now, right? Some of you are with me. And if you don't know, unedited podcast, you better listen to it. All right. And so I'm talking to him. I'm going, man, this is awesome. I'm glad. And he said she just stayed after the service and she cried. She was just in tears because she's like, this is incredible. And she had no idea that he was involved with Heights. And I said, well, that's incredible. How did she tell you this? And he goes, well, we were having a banking conversation. And I was like, how did that come up in a banking conversation? And you know what he said? He said, how does that not come up in a banking conversation? Because when you've experienced Jesus's mercy and grace, every conversation is an opportunity to talk about Jesus, to be a representative of him in the world that you're in. Every place that you find yourself is an opportunity to put yourself in a place where you can share Jesus, where you can talk about Jesus, where you get to be his representative to the world around you. His mercy and grace, when you've experienced it, you can't stop showing it. It's living on Kingdom Mission. It's loving people. It's giving. It's serving. It's inviting. It's sharing. It's doing these things. This is what the mark of living on Kingdom Mission looks like. And more than that, this is the mark of a mature believer. This is the mark of a mature believer. It's not how much you know, it's what you do. I'm going to get in your grill a little bit right now, okay? Listen, because a lot of people, when it comes to church, you go, hey, I just need more. I just need you to give me more. I need you to go deeper. How come you don't go deep enough? And here's what I would say. You don't need more until you've used what you have. I think about my kids when they have a good dinner. It's in their plate and they take a couple good bites and they're like, that's really good. Can I have more? And I'm like, why don't you finish what's on your plate first before I give you more? Some of you guys haven't applied what you learned last week or the week before, or the week before, or the week before, and you're going, can I have more? I just need to go deeper. And I'm like, no, do what you already know. Because the mark of a mature believer is not how deep you are. It's how much you do. I think most Christians are educated far beyond their level of obedience. You know way more than you're willing to do. That's not the mark of maturity. It's living on Kingdom Mission. It's living a life that says it's not about me. It's about giving away to other people. It's about living the mission because I've received grace, because I've received mercy. I then want to live in a way that shows grace and mercy to other people. I'm telling you, Pastor John and I could get up here and confuse the heck out of you every week. So you leave and go, oh, that was really deep, but it doesn't change your life at all. And we failed. Because you have been called to live on Kingdom Mission. You've been called to be loving to the people around you. All right, what if you were just present with the people around you long enough to see them? Some of us, we move so fast that we can't be loving. You can't stop to pray for someone on the side of the road because you're moving too fast. Being loving is just stopping to be present. Being loving, if you're going to live Kingdom Mission, being loving is, some of you are going to love this one too. It's choosing kindness over being right. Oh, we're good at being right, though. I know how to be right. I got to stand on this. What if you were just loving enough to be kind instead of being right? What if we lived in a way where we could just serve people around us? What that means is going, hey, this isn't about just my time, because a lot of you don't have time, and I get that. But what if you joined a serve team? Listen, a lot of you have come here for a really long time, and that's great. We're glad you're here. But start getting involved. Join a serve team. Say, man, I want to serve. Not just here, but wherever you're at. Serving means putting other people first. What if you were like, hey, no, you go first? We live in a me-first society, but what if you just step back and say, no, I'm gonna serve you by letting you go first? Or what if in our life, we were able to share with the people around us? Most of us are scared to share with the people around us when it comes to Jesus, because we're like, what if they say no? And you need to know this. We are living in a time where people are more open than they have ever been. People are searching. People are wanting. People are going, I want to hear about this. And we're afraid to get rejected, but I promise you 99% of the time, if you say, hey, can I just share with you about Jesus? People are going to say yes. If you just say, hey, can I pray with you? People are going to say yes. What if we were giving? Living on kingdom missions, it means you're living in a giving way, where you understand that everything that you have been given is not yours, it is God's anyway, therefore you can give it to other people. I was talking to a friend of mine last week who had donated for a project that ended up not happening. And I said, hey, I got to give you that money back. And he says, no, you don't. I gave it. I said, no, I got to give it back to you. And he goes, if you give it back to me, I'm actually going to be mad because it's not mine, it's God's, and I gave it away. That's what living on kingdom mission looks like, saying I'm giving it away, right? It's inviting people to church. It's saying, hey, come on, come check this out. Right? You invite people to church and they go, oh, I'm just not really churchy. And you're like, yeah, you should meet our pastors, right? They aren't either, right? There's no such thing as churchy, there's Jesus people. And when you're a Jesus person, you show mercy and you show grace and you reflect him to the world around you. I was talking to someone this last week who is involved with our church. They're actually on staff. And they were telling me they went to In-N-Out. And they went to In-N-Out because they love Jesus and it's the Lord's restaurant, that's why. Because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday, so you gotta go to In-N-Out, you know what I'm saying? And so they're walking In-N-Out and someone approached them in the parking lot and they were, I don't know how to describe them. They were sketchy, right? You know, sketchy people, some of you're sketchy people. You know what it means, right? They were sketchy. And they come up and said, hey, can I have some money? I go, do you need food? What do you need? I said, we just need money. He said, no, hey, how about I buy you some dinner? So he took them inside and they bought their dinner, but they didn't just stop there. That's a good place to just pat yourself on the back. Awesome, I did a good deed. They said, hey, why don't you sit with us? And they ate dinner with them. And that's also a good place to stop and pat yourself on the back. But they said, no, can I pray for you? And again, they said, absolutely. So they prayed for him. And these people, after they prayed, just kind of sat there and goes, why are you doing this? Why did you sacrifice to pay for our food and then invite us to eat with you and then ask if I could pray with you? And they said, let me tell you why. Because of this guy named Jesus. And they started sharing Jesus with him. They started sharing Jesus, started telling him about this guy named Jesus who is full of mercy, who is full of grace. They said, because of him, this is why we live the way that we do. That is who he is. And it's because of his mercy and it's because of his grace that we can live that way. That's who he is. And it is everywhere. It is all around us. We get to be the snapshots in our world. But it's not just here in our area. This is happening everywhere. God is moving globally. And I'm so excited for you guys over the next couple weeks. This is what we call Global Month at Heights Church, where we get to share stories of what God is doing around the globe with our global partners. You get to hear stories of people whose lives are being changed because of the gospel in other countries around the globe. And what you get to see is you get to see a snapshot of God's character on display in our world today. It doesn't just happen on the Old Testament in Exodus, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we get to experience what God is doing. We get to see it. When you understand the grace and mercy you've been given, you live on kingdom mission. Last is this, because of his grace, because of his mercy and his grace, we get to rest in him. Because of his mercy and grace, we get to rest in him. I was going to tell you a story of my need for rest because I got 5,000 kids and my life is crazy and all that. But the truth is I think we're all in the same boat. We live in a world that's hard. We live in a world where we need rest. We got so much going on. It's so difficult. We need rest. And here's what God says. He was telling Moses. Moses is like, I'm done leading these people, man. This is too hard. I can't do this. And he tells them this. He says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Because you find rest in God's presence. You find rest in God's presence. And that's where we get rest, is by going in. We all need rest, but living on mission in God's presence is where we find true rest. Living on mission in God's presence. Living the kingdom mission that he has set out for us. All right, Jesus speaks to this. And Jesus speaks to this in the New Testament. What was happening in this in the book of Matthew is that people are getting burnt out on religion. They're getting beat up by religion. They're going, I've tried everything and I'm doing too much and I need rest. And so Jesus says this to them. It says in Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Does that describe some of you? He says, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And man, we can preach that. We can preach that unless you know what a yoke is. Because it's a device that's used for ox to plow a field. It's a device used for an incredible amount of work. And when we think rest, we go, okay, yeah, rest is no work whatsoever, can't do it. No, what true rest is working for Jesus. He says, take my yoke upon you. What he's saying is take my mission on. Live on kingdom mission and you will find true rest because you are in my presence, living in my steps. And that's where true rest is found. And we think it's all sacrifice. We think of people who go to In-N-Out, who pay for somebody, who let them invade their mealtime, who step out in faith and pray for them and share with them. And we go, that's all sacrifice, man. That's a lot of sacrifice to give. I mean, I'm telling you, when she shared that story with me this weekend, I was in a room with a few different people. And as this story is being shared, the joy on her face, the joy that came out from her mouth was unbelievable. And not only was it joy for her, the entire room was so joyful listening to someone living on kingdom mission, because it is not a sacrifice. It is not work. It is not painful. It is rest when you step into what God has called you to do, to live on kingdom mission, to say where my feet are is where ministry happens. It's not something you flip on and flip off. You don't just flip on the switch and go, well, now I'm in church. This is the time. When you live in kingdom mission, that means that wherever God has you is your mission field. To love, to give, to serve, to share, to invite. It is all because of his mercy and grace. And some of you today need to accept his mercy and grace. Some of you have lived your life and you're trying to do it on your own. You're striving. Right, you are out too deep in too deep of waters going, I can't do this. And you need to accept his mercy. You need to accept his grace by saying, Jesus, I accept what you did for me on the cross to pay the price for me. And some of you are feeling the Holy Spirit right now push you to do that. You're feeling that feeling inside of going, that's me. That's me. I need to do that. Don't let today pass. If you have questions or you want to talk to someone, there will be people up front after this that want to talk with you, that want to pray with you, just want to help you accept what Jesus has done for you and accept his mercy and grace and step from death into life. For those of us that have accepted that, my challenge to you is this: because of his mercy, because of his grace, live on kingdom mission. When you came in today, you were given this cup. And in the church world, we know this is communion. And we do it often. It's a tradition. It's very tradition. It's very check off your list. We did it in church kind of thing. But as we have time right now to reflect, I would challenge you to reflect on his mercy and his grace in your life. Where have you seen his mercy and grace that was poured out for you on the cross? I would challenge you to think, man, where is it in your life where you can go, I am weary and I am burdened, but my true rest comes from him. In a couple moments, we'll take this together. But right now, I want you to just spend time reflecting on what Jesus did for you in the cross.